You can't buy your way into this.
No. That's a great lesson, and yeah, money can't buy you everything. It can buy you fancy horses, but it can't buy you the ability to
The
ride
ability
them.
to ride them. Yeah, that is like the hoityest, toityest phrasing I've ever heard, and I love it.
It's, yeah,
Money
like
can buy you fancy horses, but it can't buy you the ability to ride them.
that's the like first world version of you can lead a horse to water,
Yes.
but you can't make a drink.
Yeah.
Welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to talk about, sorry, ooh, singing and dancing and being on the run and Bollywood girls.
Yeah. Bollywood girls who will stop at nothing to rescue the people that they love.
Yeah, and I guess like Bollywood boys accused of murder.
Yeah, who drive ice cream trucks, and then Bollywood girls get in the ice cream
Yeah.
trucks. Yeah, that was one of the
Yeah.
things that really stuck out in my memory.
I love that
Welcome to Savvy.
Yeah.
This was a good time.
It was a really good. I got a little bit worried because it was dark
It was dark,
at
yes.
times. And so then I was like, uh-oh, did I accidentally steer Kim into an unexpectedly dark? Although, I guess we weren't expecting it to be light and fluffy.
No, I think for me, like the first maybe 20 minutes of the movie, I was sort of like, okay, this is dark. It's a little
Yeah.
sad. I don't know if I'm really feeling it, but I'm enjoying it. I'm here for the story. And then Anil Kapoor showed up.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, okay, now
Great.
I've been sucked in.
He's got a lot of costumes.
He's got a lot of costumes. He was like Hrithik in Doom 2.
Yes.
So once I think that was I was expecting more of that energy throughout, I think, and so then once he showed up and that energy started happening, I was like, yes, okay, here we
Yeah.
are.
Yeah, I thought it was enjoyable. I'm glad that it was like the length that it was. It
Yeah.
felt perfect. I liked that it was like about a woman.
I did too. And not only was our leading lady a lady,
Yeah.
but we also had like I kept noting all of the women in positions of power through. I was like, okay, so like her
Yeah.
lawyer's a woman, the arresting officer's a woman. I was just
The realtor's a woman.
the realtor's a woman, just women all over the place in this movie. Love it.
That's so true. Her like friend who, spoiler alert, also committed murder is
Yeah.
a woman. Good for everyone.
Women can do anything. They can murder,
Yeah.
they can break murderers out of prison. Although I guess
A
he's not
lot
a murderer.
of anything men can do, women can do as well, pertaining
Exactly.
to murder.
Yep.
And
You heard
other
it here
things
first,
too.
folks. One other thing I wanted to say about the movie overall was that it reminded me a lot of Milang, to the point where I was like, is the
Yeah.
like the same director or producers? And it was produced by the same company, so there were some producers that were the same. But I don't know why, it just like it had so many of the same beats, and Anil Kapoor's there too.
I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I like that. It also, yeah, kind of leads you down one path, but
Right. Yeah, I think they kind of scratch the same itch, like
Yeah.
a movie that's intense and suspenseful but isn't going to like break you down.
Yeah. This one's definitely a little more gentle
Yes. Yeah.
in terms of impact on your heart.
Right. Yeah, less assault.
Yeah,
Some
yeah.
assault, just less.
Just less. Yeah. And no pregnant women
No,
getting
no.
assaulted, which
No.
is
We like
I'm
that.
always a fan of
Yeah.
that not happening.
Not
We should
happening.
specify.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just pregnant women and most other people just being safe is great.
Yeah. But anyway, Savvy was directed by Abhinay Dio, and it stars Divya Khosla Kumar as Savvy. And I actually think her performance was
Yeah,
fantastic.
I thought she was great.
Spot on the
Yeah,
entire time. Yeah.
absolutely.
And her husband, Nakul, is played by Harshvardhan Rane. Anil Kapoor as J. Paul. Love him. He's great. Yeah. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
All right, do it. I also, okay, yeah, you're right. It is kind of like Malong, too, in that it starts in the middle.
Yes.
On a dark and stormy night. We open with a scared, battered woman driving a car speedily through dark, empty streets. Mm-hmm. She pulls up to a port, drags a man out of her car, and leaves him on the side of the road, then drives away.
Yeah.
What a way to start.
What a way to start. Also, she's got a baby on board sticker on the back of her car, which I didn't think about this until it happens the second time, but there's no baby on board.
No, there's not. That's clearly like
that
9
child's
years
like,
old.
Yeah, 7 years old at least.
Yeah, yeah. But I love that like they keep coming back to this idea of like, she's a housewife, she's a mother.
Yeah. And again, she's still capable of anything.
Exactly. But then we get a 5 months ago, and we see the same woman who is Savi, and she is talking to her father, who is trying to convince her, her husband Nakul, and her son Adi to visit. And so they all agree to go back to India during Adi's school break, which is great. Papa's very excited. And then the two parents have some back and forth while we see Nakul inject himself with something, because he's diabetic, so it's insulin. He then puts his coat on for work, but we notice that there's an odd, like, rust-colored stain on the sleeve, which is interesting. And at that moment, the doorbell rings, and Savi goes to answer it while Nakul is in the bathroom trying to scrub out the stain, which looks very suspicious.
It does, yeah.
And it's the Liverpool police.
Oh, no.
And they arrest Nakul for the murder of Stephanie, his boss.
Mm-hmm. Who we had heard him complaining about.
Mm-hmm. And talking about, like, wanting to leave his job. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the next scene, Savi and Adi are at the prison to visit Nakul. And Nakul asks about the possibility of an appeal. Savi's like, I've been meeting with the lawyer every day, and we're not really any closer to success. Nakul then says that the night of the murder, he'd been hurrying home in the rain when he bumped into someone else who must have been the murderer. That's how he got the stain on his sleeve. But he says he also lost a button in the parking lot in that interaction. He tells Savi that they need to look for it because that proves that someone else was in the parking lot that night.
Yeah.
Because the only evidence they really have, well, they have a lot of evidence, and I'm about to go through it. Savi then visits Hassan, Miss Hassan, the arresting officer who's working on Nakul's case. Hassan tells Savi that they've looked at the CCTV footage and they've scoured the parking lot, but the footage, like, doesn't exist because the cameras weren't working and they couldn't find the button. There's absolutely no proof that there was anyone else there that night. And she outlines all of the evidence working against Nakul, which is fingerprints on the murder weapon, DNA around the body, motive, because he was known to complain about her, and Stephanie was apparently kind of horrible and, like, yelled and embarrassed him at work a lot. And Savi then thinks back to a conversation she had with Nakul at dinner that night when he was complaining about Stephanie and said, if she had met me 10 years ago, .. And we learned that he'd been an angry young man, TM, 10 years ago.
Yes, she literally calls him that.
So then there's a montage of Savi trying to hold life together while Nakul is in prison. She doesn't have a job of her own. She's a housewife, so finances are tight right now. And we also see that Papa's visa to visit England was rejected.
Yeah.
Which is really sad.
Super sad. Like, this man has family that he wants to visit. Like, what? I don't understand.
And I guess the implication is that it's because Nakul is in prison for murder.
Oh.
I don't know. That's kind of what I just assume. Or that just sucks. Like,
yeah. I guess that's a valid reason. I was sort of just like, I don't know. It's not his. Nakul's not his kid.
That was my understanding, right? That it was her kid. But now I'm kind of wondering.
I also thought, because she talks about how her family.
She lost her whole family.
Yeah. So I sort of thought he was like an adoptive type father figure, but I didn't get the sense that he was Nakul's dad, but maybe he was. I don't know.
Yeah,
this guy's just like a friendly old man who's a part of the family.
Yeah, and regardless, he deserves to be able to see them.
Absolutely.
And then this isn't the only bad news, because the court also rejects Nakul's appeal and finds him guilty of murder, sentencing him to life imprisonment. In the prison yard, Nakul is working out when a group of men approaches him, and they say that they need him to hold on to some drugs for 2 days because he has a clean record, unlike the other guys who have their cells searched daily. Then Savi gets a call from Hassan, and she rushes to the hospital because Nakul has been badly beaten. And it was the same group of men who ambushed him and tried to kill him because he refused to hold on to the drugs and help them. So Nakul is alive, and the guys who beat him are in solitary confinement for a month, but they'll be out after that, and there will continue to be a major threat to Nakul's life.
Yeah.
Hassan kind of outlines all of this to Savi, and I'm not really sure why she does, like, what is Savi going to do about it,
right?
You know?
Yeah, it's a great point.
Yeah, but whatever, it does the job of terrifying Savi. She's really worried that her husband's going to be dead in a month. And again, she's still convinced that he's innocent. So she goes to her friend for comfort, who tells her her own story of moving from India to Liverpool, only to discover that the husband that she'd moved for was already married with children. And Not only that, he was abusive.
Yeah.
So she ended up killing him with a kitchen knife in order to save herself.
Yeah.
Which was unexpected. I was like, why is she, what does this story have to do with anything?
Like, we haven't seen anything of her yet. And so, like, Savi just, like, shows up at this woman's house, and then she just starts talking about how she killed her husband. And I was like, who is this woman?
She seems pretty open about her deepest,
really
darkest secrets.
Yeah.
So you gotta admire it, I guess. And she says she spent 10 years in prison and then got out and changed her life. So she now lives independently.
Mm-hmm.
I do find it interesting that, like, she got 10 years and Nakul gets a lifetime sentence. And I wonder if it's because hers was ruled as, like, self-defense.
Right, yeah. That's what I would have assumed. And that they, like, thought that, you know, Nakul just killed his boss in cold
out
blood.
Out of cold blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also, it's such an interesting, I'm drawing the connection now between this and sort of the overarching theme of the film of, like, freedom and independence and not being imprisoned and all the different ways that a person might be imprisoned.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Abuse is a prison. Yeah.
See all the depth of it all.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like that, yeah, she tells Savi that helplessness is like quicksand. Once you're in, you can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be helpless.
Yeah. Which is a good point to make, although there are a lot of ways to get out of quicksand. So, which I remember learning as a kid, because I remember thinking that quicksand was going to, like, come up.
Wow.
You know?
Like, you watched too much Princess Bride.
And other things where it's just like, yeah, no, this is just an inevitable part of life. You just are going to encounter quicksand. You got to know how to get out of it.
Wow. I love that about you.
I've seen online that I'm not the only person of my
clearly,
age group
yeah.
who encountered that.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I gotta be with you when I encounter quicksand because I don't know how to get out. So cool. But yes, Savi takes this to heart and she goes back to the prison to visit Nakul. And as she goes through the whole visitor entry process, she's taking in all the guards and security measures. She's kind of looking at, like, the alarm system. And she ends up stealing an ID card from a guard. And when he notices that it's missing, like, right away, he pushes a big red button that sets off an alarm. And he then finds out that Savi took the card and he's all upset. And it turns out that this was all in her head.
Yeah.
She imagined it, thank God. Because I was like, Savi, this is not the way to go.
I know. I was like, this was so sudden. You didn't plan it at all.
Yeah. So she goes running out of the prison and, like, throws up outside, then goes home to start planning how she's going to break out her husband.
Yeah.
She originally thinks about Googling at her own home, like, UK prison breaks, but thinks better of it. And so she goes to the library to do that. And she ends up finding a book called Over the Wall by a guy named Jay Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And cue Anil Kapoor's entrance.
Yeah.
In a voiceover, he informs us that he got arrested for the first time in February 1999 for art forgery. He was sentenced for 3 years, but he escaped in a vegetable delivery truck.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I did think they focused a lot on, like, the rotting vegetables, and so I assumed that he was going to, like, have, like immersed himself in rotting vegetables, yeah, but he didn't. He just was like behind some boxes. So I don't know why we needed that much attention on the, you know, the maggots.
No. Yeah. And his whole story, like he got arrested like multiple times and broke out multiple times. And then eventually he just like surrendered and served his time.
Yeah.
So that's his story. So he's living free now. But after reading this book, Savi impersonates a journalist in order to get Jay Paul's address. And I do think it's funny how quickly that like operator just gave up that info.
Yeah, I agree.
Because she was like, I'm a reporter from like this newspaper. And the woman was like, I don't know. And she was like, no, I'm writing an article. And the woman was like, well, that's all right then. Yeah. Okay.
So if you're a journalist and you're not writing an article, then absolutely not. But as long as you're writing an article, you're good to go.
That was a little weird, but it's fine.
It's okay. Some of the plot points could have been a little better fleshed out, but we don't need them. It's a 2-hour movie. We don't have time for that.
That's so true. So then Savi shows up at Jay Paul's house, but he doesn't answer the intercom, so she just climbs over his gate. And inside the house, Jay Paul is working on a manuscript of some sort. And when he hears Savi calling for him outside, he passes a liability waiver through the door.
Yeah.
and I love this because she just signs it and passes it back. And then he sends his dog out after her, but she befriends it.
Yeah.
I also just want to make a note that later on, he calls it a pit bull. That's not a pit bull.
And aren't pit bulls...
pit bulls are illegal in the UK. Yeah. Yeah. So it is not a pit bull.
It's an interesting choice to have called the dog that's not a pit bull a pit bull when it would have been illegal to have a pit bull. It's like, just call it what it is and don't further discriminate against pit bulls. Like some sort of like
mastiff. Right?
Like some kind of mastiff. Yeah.
That's why I was like, as a pit bull lover and the companion, the lifelong companion of a sweet little pit bull.
Yeah.
I feel the need to...
We don't need further slander against pit bulls.
No. But anyway, Savi continues to sit and wait outside, even as it gets dark, and she even makes herself a fire.
Yeah, it looked like she, like, was burning some of the packaging that was, like, outside his house.
Yeah.
Which is
funny. So I was like, all right, guess that's not important.
No.
Also, he has so much money.
Yeah.
Oh, probably from the book. Right. Okay.
Everyone wanted to read his book about the multiple times he broke out of prison.
Yeah, I mean, sounds interesting.
It does sound interesting, yeah.
I also, like, at one point, like, one of the books she checked out was also, like, Papillon. And I was like, that's a good movie. I haven't read the book.
I also think, like, because at first I was like, okay, good. She's not, like, Googling this on her home computer. She's going to the library to do this research. But then she did seem to be checking out books.
Right, so I was like, which is suspicious.
No, don't do that. Read them at the library.
Exactly. I had the same thought.
Yeah.
But finally, the next morning, Jay Paul emerges out of his house and he wakes up Savi. And he brings her inside and he ends up telling her that there's no prison you can't break out of. There's always a key. You just need someone to make it.
Mm-hmm.
He also says that most people who escape get caught within 3 days. So you need to plan out every step in advance to stay ahead of the police. And that includes getting fake documents.
Mm-hmm.
So he recommends a street for her to go to get false passports and identification and things. And she goes there and finds a guy who can help her, but he tries to rob her. Very much like Queen. Like, she holds on and tries to kick back, but then there's two guys kicking her and it's not good. So, yeah.
It's very scary.
This guy and his friend are beating Savi up, but then who should appear but Jay Paul?
Uh-huh.
And he tases both bad guys.
Yeah. I liked his costume, his, like, British detective costume.
Yes.
And I liked how doubtful these two men were that he was a British detective. And I was like, but he's dressed like every British detective you've ever seen. Like,
exactly. And clearly there was some part of them that believed it because they were like, well, we're not sure we can attack this guy.
Right. Yeah. It did cause them to hesitate.
And that's all you need. Yep. Yeah. Jay Paul then says that someone willing to do the things that Savi has done cannot be a simple reporter, which means that she's trying to save someone. So they go and they sit in his car and they talk, and he tells her to go home because he can't be there to save her every time and she doesn't have what it takes to break Nicole out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
But Savi doesn't back down, and Jay Paul ends up agreeing to help her get false passports. We then get a montage of memories of Savi and Nakul, interspersed with her selling off belongings and putting her house up for sale. She then meets up with Jay Paul, who gives her the documents and a gun, because she did also ask for a gun.
Yeah.
And there's this whole bit where he tells her to shoot his dog to put it out of its misery, but she can't do it. And then he's like, that's proof that you can't pull off what you're planning. Like, you have to be prepared to kill, and mm-hmm. you can't even kill a dog.
I think it'd be way easier to kill a person than to kill a dog, just personally.
Yeah, like, not to be that person, but I think that's true for a lot of people. Yeah.
Well, and also just, like, to have someone stand there and be like, okay, kill this creature, whether it's an animal or a person, is very different from, like, you know... Someone's coming at me, and I'm holding a gun, like...
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also, though, he handed her a fully loaded gun and told her to shoot the dog. Like, what if she did?
Right. He put a lot of faith in that, in her not doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't ever risk.
No.
But it's cool, because then Jay Paul shows up again, and this time he's dressed as a pizza man.
I wrote down, do you remember in Arrested Development, the private investigator who always would, like, show up in different costumes? I think his name was, like, Gene Parmesan or something.
Yeah, and they're like, Gene!
Gene! Yeah. Yeah, the mom is always, like, screaming whenever he shows up.
Yes, because he always takes off the costume, and then it's like, it's Gene. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. But yes, he's dressed as a pizza man, mm-hmm. and he asks about Nakul's health. And Savi tells him that Nakul has diabetes, and Jay Paul mentions that he wishes Nakul has hyperkalemia.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Dropping and hints all over the place.
Yes. This gives Savi an idea, just like it was supposed to. Mm-hmm. And she follows the van that collects Nicole's samples each week to kind of gather info and work out a plan. Savi then goes to visit Nicole in prison and finds out that the men who beat him are getting out of solitary confinement in 3 days, which is earlier than expected.
Yeah.
And they will try to kill Nicole if he doesn't withdraw his complaint against them. Which I'm kind of like... It's pretty obvious that they ambushed him and tried to kill him. Like, why did he have to lodge a complaint?
Right. But also, I want to talk about Nakul just for a little bit in this moment. Uh-huh. Because I definitely thought he was guilty. Like, I thought that, that was
like,
gonna
I'm prepared, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be the twist at the end. Because, like, we see how violent he is in his youth. And then... In this moment, the way he was like, I'm not going to back down. And I wrote in my notes here, I'm not sure Nakul deserves to be saved.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was going to be, like, that she started to realize that he was, like...
A murderer.
A murderer and maybe not a good person.
Okay.
But that's not the direction we went in. But that was where my mind was going.
I like that, yeah. Because, again, I think we've fallen into this trap before where the person doing, like, the recap, you know, sometimes I'm just like... taking down facts,
right.
So I almost take it at face value,
yeah.
Whereas the other person is like, no, there's definitely, like, something's afoot here. Like,
yeah.
What is it? Trying to sniff out the truth.
There's a foul plot afoot.
Exactly. It was not my feet. What is that from?
That's from Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Okay, I thought so. Oh, man.
There's also on his... Like, in his prison cell, it appears that he has drawn, like, a stick figure family and a house.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
I thought it was really funny because it's, like, a child's drawing and he's, like, a man in his mid to late 30s.
But, you know, maybe he's using, like, a plastic knife or something.
Probably not a plastic knife. I don't know if they have those in prison.
Well...
But you're right, he's probably not using something that's great for drawing, but also he has a lot of time, like...
That's true.
He could have put more effort into that.
Yeah, and they did give him, like, paper and a writing utensil to write letters to his son, so...
That's true.
He probably could also just, like, create an actual picture and just tape it to the wall instead of... Huh, yeah. Interesting.
You're right, that's even funnier.
Maybe he just likes the medium of stick figures.
I guess, yeah. He's like, it's my cave drawings.
Yeah. He's like, look at this art. It is a bummer, though, because, yeah, poor Nicole.
Yeah, no, but... I do sympathize with him, knowing what I know.
Yes. But yeah, so Savi asks him to withdraw the complaint to give her more time, but she can't explicitly say why. He's like, you're being weird. Why do you need time?
Yeah.
And he refuses because he's an honorable man.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said it in that way. He is actually an honorable
man.
He
is. He's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's team to cool. He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Then we get day one.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Savi break into the van that carries the samples from the prison every day. And she finds Nicole's paperwork and manages to take a few photos of it. She then calls her realtor and says she'll drop the price of her house by 50%, but she needs to sell it in the next 3 days because she needs money.
Yeah, that's not suspicious at all.
No. And the realtor's like, okay, well, that timeline's impossible because not only do we have to find a buyer, but there's paperwork involved. And then the realtor just is like, sorry, and hangs up. So Savi gets back in the car to drive to the street where she originally tried to get her false documents. And she's able to kind of, like, follow one of the guys that she met into a house. And then in there, she threatens him and another guy at gunpoint to give her their money.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, this is a little bit funny, she then promises to return it. And yeah. And the other guy is like, you came for a loan at gunpoint? Like, get out of here.
This isn't a bank. Go away.
No. But they end up telling her where the money is, and she gets it. But then the other guy gets a gun and, like, wants to shoot the other guy who told her where the money was and shoot her.
Yeah.
And she gets shot in the arm.
She does. Or,
like, the bullet grazes her while the other guy gets shot in the stomach, like, twice.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kills the guy that's been shooting at them. But the guy who was shot in the stomach begs her to take him to the hospital. He's like, don't leave me. Please get me some help.
I felt really bad for this guy.
I did too. Like, although he did also, like, set her up to get robbed.
Yeah, but, I mean, maybe he didn't know that those guys were going to rob her. Maybe he thought that they were going to be
legit.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Rocks.
Yeah, rocks. She gets him in her car and she takes off, but she smashes the back of her car in the process.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. But poor Rox dies before they can reach the hospital.
Yeah.
And now there's just a dead body in her car.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, that's rough. I was going to say, she should have left him, but I'm like, I don't think
I
could.
Well, I did have the thought, like, she could have just called an ambulance.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, this guy doesn't know her name or anything about
That's
her.
That's very true.
Like, other than what she looks like.
That's a good point.
He doesn't even know why she wants the money. Like, yeah. But the heat of the moment, you make a choice and here you are.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. If you ever find yourself in a situation like Savi, just call an ambulance. Don't put the dying man in your car.
It's just like how, like, a lot of the times people, they catch first-time murderers because they bring the murder weapon with them. They don't think they should leave it at the scene of the crime. And
yeah.
That's, like, one of the ways that, like, people get caught.
Wow, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
But, okay, murderers.
Take note, everyone. Leave it there.
We're going to have the cops after us.
Burn off your fingerprints. You'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. But so Savi takes Rox to the port and leaves him there.
Yep.
And this is the first scene of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all caught up.
Yep.
And she then drives to J. Paul for help. And he bandages her arm as she processes the fact that she killed someone. I will say she doesn't really have the luxury to linger on that very long. She's got stuff to do.
Yeah.
I also like that he's like, whoa, you actually killed a person. And she was like, well, you told me to. And he was like, no, I told you to be prepared to kill someone, not to go do it. Like,
I didn't want you to seek out murder.
Yeah. Yeah. But J. Paul does agree to help her as long as she understands that he will walk away if his freedom is threatened.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, we see that the police are on the scene at the drug house and they're trying to piece together what happened. And they find the piece of her car's taillight at the scene and send it to the lab.
Yes.
Yes.
Good old lab.
Yeah, lab can do anything.
They really can.
Is that really the lab's job, or is that more just like some like grunt you have working at a desk in the back of the police station who is like, okay, let me look at all the shapes of all the taillights of all the cars.
Find the one that matches.
You know, because it's not like... I guess they could check, like, the particles used in the... All right, maybe it is lab stuff.
That sounds so fancy, though. Like, I feel like they would have just measured it and then, like, looked up the measurements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, day two, Savi gets a new car and picks up the tickets for tomorrow. She then tries to break a chain, keeping a door shut to the underground tunnels. She previously found a map of underground tunnels, so we know that's part of her plan. Mm-hmm. And she does successfully break the chain. I wasn't clear on her doing that, but we'd find out later that she did.
Yeah, so. they don't totally show that it's happened. Yeah.
Yes. And finally, Savi doctors up a new report for Nakul, stating that he has hyperkalemia.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's day three, the big day.
Yes.
Yes. Savi tells Adi to pack whatever he can into a bag, and then she calls Papa to tell him not to call for a few days and to warn him that they won't be calling either. Savi and Adi get in the car, and then she drops him off with her friend, who she now knows murdered a guy.
Yeah. She's game for anything.
Yeah. And she tells Adi not to tell anyone about their upcoming holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's interesting that at this point, it kind of feels like she's keeping Adi in the dark. But like 20 minutes from now, he's all caught up. Like, he's part of it.
I have a lot of feelings about Adi and his, there's a lot of moments in this movie where his parents are like, don't worry, it's all gonna be fixed in no time. And it's all, like, Nakul is like, I'm gonna be out in no time, I promise, so soon, we're gonna be hanging out. And I'm like, no.
Stop lying to your child.
Just please, like, yeah. He's old enough that you can be like, here's the actual situation. It's hard and we're all scared, but, like, it's okay to feel that way. Like, don't lie to this boy.
Yeah, although it turns out it wasn't a lie, Kim.
Well, that's true, but Nakul definitely didn't know that when he said that.
That is very true. So, yes, as this is happening, we see the police use the taillight to narrow down their list of suspects, which I do kind of think it's a little unfair that they were right in their guess, because their guess seemed rude. But they figured out what car it was, and they were like, how many of those are in the country? And it was like 15,000. And then they were like, how many of those are registered to, like, people in prison? And, like, it was 10. And then they were like, well, one of them's a murderer. Let's go with that one.
Yeah.
And then they were right.
And they were right, yeah. I know, it does, like, that does seem a little convenient. Because it's also, like, just the assumption that, like, it would be someone who has already been convicted of a crime don't know, it just seemed very interesting.
And maybe they were just like, well, we have to start somewhere.
Also, but there's really only one Honda CRV associated with a murderer in the entire country.
I guess so.
I have trouble believing that, but whatever.
A Honda CRV would also be a very convenient vehicle for murder, yeah. I'm assuming, in terms of transporting all your things.
I'm pretty sure that's what my sister drives.
Okay, well,
so if she's
you
gonna
make
murder
whatever
anyone,
inference you want. Yeah.
I mean, how did I know that thing about leaving behind the murder weapon?
We'll never know. Anyway, so the police do zero in on Nakul and his family. Savi then drives to the lab, where J. Paul is waiting, dressed as an electrician. And he cuts the telephone lines while Savi sneaks back into the lab van and replaces Nicole's paperwork. She then follows the van to the prison, and inside, the prison doctor receives the report that says Nicole is at high risk for hyperkalemia. The prison doctor then tries to call the lab to confirm, but obviously cannot get through.
Mm-hmm.
What I find interesting about this part is that, like, yes, J. Paul snapped the telephone lines, but then he, like, walks into the lab where, like, the front desk person is like, oh, thank God, you're here. Fix the telephone lines. But she clearly didn't call a telephone repair company because the telephones aren't working.
That's a good point. Maybe she...
So that's suspicious.
Maybe she texted someone.
Maybe. Well, say that is what happened.
I didn't think about that, but that's very true. She was just, like, so excited that someone was there to help. She didn't think about the logic of how did they know we were in need of help.
Yeah, just like if you're kind of like, oh, the lines are down, and then a guy who looks like an electrician walks in,
like, immediately and, after.
Yeah, you're like, that's a little bit weird. And then if he walks away cackling,
yeah,
That's a red flag.
I think anytime anyone walks away from you cackling, just assume they're up to something.
Yeah, yeah. So the prison doctor decides, like, okay, we don't want to mess around with this. We don't need the lab to confirm. Let's just call a hospital. Oh, sorry. Let's just call an ambulance to take Nicole to the hospital. And as this is happening, the police are heading to Savi's house to question her. Mm-hmm. And they arrive at the house to find it completely cleared out. But they do find the remnants of her planning board, her little string board. And just then, they get a call that Nicole has been transferred to the hospital.
Yep.
So Hassan is also part of this police group now.
I was definitely like, she could have done a better job cleaning that up. Like,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, I was
me
like, too. Really, Savi? You couldn't have picked off those last three pieces of paper.
I felt the same way. Yeah. Also, though, there's not great police work happening here because they're like, we need a warrant to get inside the house. And they're like, yeah, we do.
Just help let
let's just go because I'm pretty sure the way it works is if you don't have a warrant, any evidence that you find like doesn't
count. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the way
you enter the premises illegally.
Yeah So that's why you want to get a warrant, because like even if you don't and you go in and you find stuff, that stuff doesn't count. You can't use that.
Anyway, Savi is in the hospital dressed as a doctor and she's got her gun.
Yeah.
And she bursts into the room where they're keeping Nicole, and she just immediately, like, clocks one of the guards in the temple with the butt of the gun.
Yeah.
And then holds the other guard at gunpoint, and she tells Nicole that they're leaving, and he is just so bewildered. He's like, I don't know why I'm here. Oh, my God. You're doing this. This is so wrong. We're going to get killed if we get caught. And she's like, at this point, we're dead anyway, so... You might as well come with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Nicole cooperates and they hustle through the hospital, but Hassan sees them as they're getting on an elevator and the chase heats up. Also, that's why like you never use the elevator as you're trying to hurry out of a place.
Right. Yeah.
Because then the police can just use the stairwell
and get down there faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like it seemed like there was no security in this hospital. Because it was, like, just these three cops chasing them. And so it was a little silly.
Yeah. Who knows? But Nicole and Savi successfully get out of the hospital and they head for the subway. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. It's probably still the tube in Liverpool. I don't know. It's the subway.
Yeah.
We'll call it the
trains
subway.
That go underground.
Mm-hmm. Hassan is after them and she sees them get on the train. So she follows them onto the train, but it turns out it was a false trail.
Very sneaky.
Yes. So then as the train is pulling away, Hassan sees Savi and Nicole, like, scurrying out of sight on the platform.
Yes.
It's very war.
Yes. Except less sexually charged.
Oh, woo. Yeah. And Savi and Nicole escape into the tunnel through the door that Savi had previously broken, so... That worked out. And they get to their new car and they head to the friend's house to pick up Adi. But it turns out that the friend took Adi to the zoo.
Yeah.
And here's my thing. I kind of figured when in the scene where she's dropping Adi off, it felt like the friend knew what was going down.
Yes, I agree.
So then I was like, are you trying to sabotage her?
Yes, this was what I was thinking too. I thought that she was going to turn them in or something.
Yeah. But no, the friend literally was just like, nah, we just went
to... Let's go to the zoo.
Went to the zoo. And also this friend left her phone behind at home.
Yeah.
Like,
when she's watching someone else's kid, like, come on.
It really felt like she was trying to pull something. Yeah. But... So Savi's like, it's okay. We have time to make it to the zoo. So they arrive at the zoo, but then there's a police checkpoint.
Yeah.
I also... Why is there a police checkpoint, like, on the way to the zoo?
I have to assume that it's, like, also on the way to other things.
Yeah, that it's, like, a certain circumference.
Yeah, because, like, here I was thinking, like, the zoo would be a great place. Like, no one would think you were going to the zoo.
That's so true. Unless they're like, that's the first place they'll go. And so Savi is obviously like, we're not going through there. So she turns the car around, which... is suspicious,
yeah,
but whatever. But then finally, Savi also, she's like texting. We see her text someone. We don't know who, though, but we suspect.
We could probably guess.
And then Savi stops the car like under an overpass, and Nakul asks for the gun, which she gives him. And then I thought, oh my God, is he going to turn the gun on her? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
But no, he just tells her that when the police find them, they'll tell them that Nakul pressured her into breaking him out of prison by threatening to kill Adi. And it's a very sad, emotional moment.
Yeah.
But then there's an ice cream truck that appears, and it's Jay Paul.
Yay!
And he has Adi with him.
Yay!
Yay! So they're all back together, but Jay Paul says that he told Savi her plan wouldn't work. So he's like, you guys should all just surrender. And all three of them just shake their heads. And I like that Adi's now part of this.
Yeah, we're in it together.
They all pile into the ice cream truck. And Jay Paul's like, yeah, I'll help you. Let's go.
I really feel like the ice cream truck should have been the plan the whole time.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Again, no one's going to suspect this. Like, it's...
Yeah, yeah. No, it's too
especially
bonkers.
Especially when he's dressed like a creepy clown. Like, no one's going to look closely at him.
No. I also just... Anil Kapoor, I love every facet of his, like, personality.
I know.
And his different energies he brings.
He is very versatile, and he can do a lot of different things in a lot of different moments.
Yeah. But so Jay Paul drives up to a police checkpoint in his, like, ice cream truck with the music going, and the police already hate him. but they check out his truck and find only ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I also love that, he showed up with a fully prepared ice cream truck.
Oh, yes. Yeah, not just any ice cream truck. Like, this is legit.
Yeah. If I were Adi, I'd be like, give me some of those Snickers ice cream bars.
I would definitely have some. I always, like, go for the strawberry shortcake ones that have the, the crunchy stuff on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. Mm-hmm. So, Jay Paul then drives the family to a building that says Departures.
Mm-hmm.
And Savi asks him why he helped them. And he tells her that it gave him his next bestseller, and it gave him a freedom he's never felt before.
Aw.
And the police are still trying to track down Savi, so they are back at her house, and they go through her trash, and are able to piece together her string board.
Mm-hmm.
And they figure out that Savi is taking a flight from Manchester Airport, heading to Marrakesh.
Yes.
And the police converge on the airport as Savi, Nakul, and Adi move through passport control just in time to avoid their photos showing up on the no-fly list.
Mm-hmm.
The police check every passenger for the flight to Marrakesh, but don't find Savi and Nakul.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because they took a ferry, not a plane.
This was very well edited together. Like, I definitely, I was like, there's no way that they're in the same, like, they have to be in different places. But it was, they did it in a really good way where it wasn't clear until the very last moment that that was true.
Yes.
But I also wanted to say that I was, I think the filmmakers did something very smart here, because when the opening scene of her dumping the body by the, mm-hmm. at the docks, there's a boat behind them. And I was just like, oh, that boat's going to come back in some kind of way.
Ooh.
So I was thinking about boats the whole movie. I was just like, they're just going to get on a boat somewhere. They're going to go, you know, like, that's how they're going to escape.
You're smart, Cookie.
It was a nice little kind of like through line
nod.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, so we see the little family of three. They've done it. Yeah. They're now in international waters. They're free. And they're heading to Ireland.
Yeah.
Cool place.
It is cool a cool place. And they say it gets colder.
I love it. Then we see day four. And we see Hassan go back to the scene of the original crime where Nakul's boss was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 7 months after the fact. And this actually was when I was like, oh my God, Nakul did do the murder.
Oh.
Because she was talking about, like, he heard a button pop, but it was, like, torrentially raining. So how would you hear? My brain was just like, how would you hear that? So he must have made it up.
Yeah, I had wondered too, because I was like, I don't think I would hear that if it wasn't raining. Or that I would automatically understand that that was what had happened, that, like, my bag yeah. had caught on someone's button and it had popped out. Like, that's just not what mm-hmm. my brain would think if I heard a small sound.
Yeah, no.
Anyway.
But Hassan remembers that it was raining, so she goes to the drain, opens the drain, and sure enough, finds a button.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly forensics, like, didn't do a they good didn't think job.
About that. Yeah, no.
Yeah, they should have. That was stupid.
It was very obviously raining. Like, it was
yeah.
a very rainy night.
Yes. But so now we know that Nicole was innocent after all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they can all feel better about them getting away.
Yeah.
And Papa then receives a letter from Bulgaria, where the family is now settled. And he dances around. He's super excited.
Yay.
It's probably going to be easier for him to visit them in Bulgaria than it was in the UK.
That, yeah, I hope
so. That's good.
Yeah.
And then we see J. Paul, who is typing a new manuscript in his house when the police arrive. And he asks them what took them so long. And then he goes with them, leaving behind a manuscript entitled Savitri.
So he's then getting arrested for helping them escape from prison? Is that what we're...
I believe so, yes. Yeah. Yes.
I kind of feel bad about that.
I do too. And it's like clearly he like knew and he thought it was worth it.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. I guess I just don't really want that for his character. Like, I would have liked to have seen him like maybe typing from his own place with no extradition to the UK.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Because also though, I guess there's no way to like write the book without incriminating yourself.
That's true. But he could have, yeah, hid it.
Yeah, he could have left the country, yeah for sure. Yeah, but he did not.
He didn't. I also, just because I, you know, I think about this every time I watch The Shawshank Redemption 2. Like, if you're innocent and you break out of prison, that shouldn't be a crime.
No, but then it is a crime. Yeah, now you have committed a crime.
But why? If you weren't supposed to be there in the first place. Like, this is the, that's the whole thing. And so I actually, like, I did a little bit of research into it, and also from my fiancé, like, talked about, I asked him if he knew, and he said that it's sort of like how suicide is technically a crime, even though there's not someone to arrest in that situation, obviously. It's a crime right. so that it can be investigated.
Oh.
And, like, people who are innocent, who break out of prison, and this isn't the US, I don't know about the UK or India, right. but, like, I imagine it's somewhat similar, where it's like, if people do that, they're probably going to go through some kind of trial, but they're going to be pardoned.
Yeah.
But it needs to, like, exist as a crime so that it can be investigated and, in theory, prevented right. from happening in the future. But then if you commit other crimes while you're committing the crime of escape, that's when it becomes, like, really exactly. illegal. It's, like, the illegal documents and the whole thing where she killed someone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not, none of that's good.
That's like, all illegal.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was enjoyable. Yeah, yeah. I definitely, I was definitely very invested
mm-hmm.
in, like, the last, like, third of the movie. Like, yeah. very much edge of my seat, like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Which is always fun. And Anil Kapoor was actually in it more than I expected him to be, which I know. Was great.
It was hard to know, because, like, at first, when you first presented this idea, I thought he was going to be in it more. And then looking at yep. At everything about it, I was like, oh, okay, maybe it is just going to be like a two-scene cameo. But no, he's, right. I think he was in it just the right amount.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, yeah. So that was a nice, pleasant surprise. I, too, went on that same Anil Kapoor journey.
That journey, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun. I'm glad we watched it. It's sort of, in a funny way, like, it's fun to kind of put it next to Crew.
Yeah.
Just, like,
yeah.
women unexpectedly committing crimes that no one really knew they would do or were capable of, and yeah.
Oh, because that is one thing I did not mention, but like when Hassan first gets called by the police to like help them, they're like, what do you know about Savi? And she's like, what? Savi's a housewife.
Yeah.
Like, she's not capable of these things.
Yeah.
And then after they realize that Savi has like outsmarted them, you know, the guy's like, oh, you said she was just a housewife. And she's like, yep, just a housewife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, haha, women are capable.
They truly are. I'm just glad that there were so many of the characters who were driving the plot were women in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
It's like the men really didn't do anything except for Anil Kapoor.
Yes. Yeah.
Everyone else and was kind of sitting around.
Yeah. And even he was kind of just like, she was steering the ship. He was kind of just offering guidance.
Right. Yes. Loved it.
Yeah. Me too. It was good. I'm glad we watched it.
Me too. Like,
especially when it was such a like, okay, let's do it. It's happening.
Yeah. And it was very spur of the moment.
It actually worked out.
Yeah. It worked out very well. It was a good choice.
What did you research?
Well, so I did end up researching prisons in India, which before watching the movie was kind of what I thought I would research. And then the movie wasn't set in India and the prison that he escaped from wasn't in India. But I was like, eh, I'm still interested in this.
Me too.
And to be clear, I very intentionally didn't do any research about like, I mean, I'll talk about it a little bit, but I didn't research like conditions in prisons in India. This is just stats that I thought were really interesting that paint a larger picture of the sort of judicial system, the system of incarceration there.
Yeah.
So there are about 1,400 prisons in India, and they are all managed at the state level. Meaning that state governments have the sole power to change rules and regulations within the prison. The central government provides funding for security as well as quality of life initiatives such as medical facilities and vocational training. But again, largely this is happening at the state level. The Indian Supreme Court has also laid down three broad principles pertaining to those in prison. One, people in prison do not become non-people. Two, people in prison are entitled to their basic human rights. And three, there is no justification for aggravating the inherent suffering of the incarceration process. So basically, the kind of bare bones, let's not treat incarcerated people like they aren't human anymore, exists at a higher level, but everything else is happening at the state level. Now, this is, this is where some of these stats start to get a little bit surprising. There are 550,000 incarcerated people in India.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
Now, before we get into that, of that number, 427,000, or nearly 80%, are awaiting trial.
Oh, my God.
Only 20% of those in prison have actually been convicted of the crimes that they are in prison for.
That's not a great stat.
No. On average, people are in prison for 2 years awaiting trial, and over 20,000 of those currently in prison have been awaiting trial for 3 to 5 years.
Oh my God. How many of them are then just going to go to their trial and actually be found not guilty?
Probably a lot.
A decent amount.
Probably a not insignificant number. I mean.
And it's like, oh God, and you still spent like 3 years in prison. Oh, geez.
Yeah. The occupancy rate in the prisons is 130% on average across the country. There was a big spike in like 2020 to 2021 of 13%. So, you know, the prisons are very overburdened. 80% of the prisons in India are considered overcrowded. So I wanted to then at this point pause and compare India to the US.
Yes, as you were saying this, I was like, okay, I have like a rough estimate in my head, but I wonder how accurate that is.
Yeah.
But yes.
So India is, as we know, the most populous nation in the world. Mm-hmm. Only 41 in every 100,000 citizens is in prison.
That's not the stat for the U.S.
No, in the U.S., 531 of every 100,000 citizens is in prison, more than 10 times that the number in India, despite having less than one-third the population.
Mm-hmm.
By percentage, the U.S. has the sixth highest incarceration rate in the world. India is 208th.
Wow.
By population total, the U.S. is first, and India is fourth, but again, most populous nation in the world.
Yeah.
And those stats all came from the World Prison Brief, in case anyone wanted to look up any other information about it.
Didn't know that existed, but I'm interested.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, this is something I didn't know, but there is an optimal incarceration rate, and India is well below that.
Okay.
Which you would think would be a good thing, but it is not.
Well, I actually was thinking, I was like, does that mean there's a lot of people just like doing crimes?
Well,
out
exactly.
There?
That's the issue. You know, it begs the question, to what extent are people committing crimes without being imprisoned and or convicted of those crimes? We know that violent crime, and particularly violent crime against women, is high. Rates of that are high in India. And so to then find out that the incarceration rate is extremely low, there's definitely a discrepancy there.
Yeah.
India even ranks below countries like Norway and Denmark that are well known for having low crime rates. Both of these nations have numbers like in the mid 50s, you know, in terms of the number out of 100,000 of their population who are incarcerated. An article called India's Missing Prisoners says, quote, if Indian society mirrored Norway's, it still would have had 450,000 more prisoners than it has today. That article is from 2016, and again, there was a steep increase in the number of incarcerated people between 2020 and 2021. So I think that number, that 450,000, would be less now, but still, we're talking like thousands, tens of thousands of people who, if we were just going by the rates in a country like Norway or Denmark, would likely be in prison.
Yeah.
So breaking down some of the demographics of who is incarcerated in India, as with the U.S., marginalized populations are overrepresented in the prison system in India. Muslims, who make up 14% of India's population, are 16% of those convicted of a crime in prison, 18% of those currently undergoing trial, and 35% of those awaiting trial.
Wow.
Dalits make up 16% of India's overall population. They make up 21% of those convicted, as well as 21% of those under trial, and 18% of those awaiting trial. And then tribal groups make up 8% of India's overall population, 13% of those convicted, 10% of those undergoing trial currently, and 5% of those awaiting trial. So again, these marginalized groups largely overrepresented in any of those three stages of this system. Only 4% of those incarcerated are women, and as of 2016, 1,649 incarcerated women had children, I'm assuming meaning with them in prison, 1,942 children total, which just made me think of Jawan.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, I was like, going to say, I was like, oh, wait, because kids remain in prison until like they're like four or five.
Yeah.
Right.
If I'm assuming that that's what, if Jawan is to be believed, then yes, yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Also, interestingly, 28% of those in Indian prisons are illiterate, 6% graduated from secondary school, 2% are postgraduates, and 1% hold technical degrees. So again, we see the numbers skew heavily towards those who have less education than those who have more. Conditions in Indian prisons do not meet international standards, largely due to overcrowding. Again, the occupancy rate is overall at 130%, and in some prisons as high as 227%.
Wow.
And the reasons for the overcrowding include heavily understaffed and underpaid police forces, overburdened prosecutors with no incentive to fill vacant positions, so this is why these trials are not happening at a rapid rate, and there's a severe lack of judges in India to actually hear the cases. There are only 10 judges for every million people in the country. So they're super low numbers of judges. And that I don't know if that's like all judges of all kinds, but the ones who are hearing like these trials, there's a that extremely low number.
Very daunting.
Yes. Also, many of those awaiting trial are unable to afford bail. So they're just stuck waiting there. So that's what I learned about the Indian prison system. Because this movie isn't actually about the Indian prison system, I did also look up incarceration rates of Indians abroad.
Oh, okay.
9,500 NRIs are in prison outside of India, with most of them incarcerated somewhere in the Middle East. And that's that. I guess I didn't look up anything more about that. Just got those numbers down. There you go.
But that's, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's what I researched this week. I know there's, like we said, there's more to be said about literally all of this, but, you know, I thought it was helpful to at least get a sense of two what feel like opposing elements here. One, that these prisons are super overcrowded, and that's contributing to them being unsanitary and just inhumane in terms of the treatment and the living conditions. And also, there aren't enough people in prison, which I say just, again, based on those stats that there's an ideal incarceration rate and India is well below it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a very interesting kind of being pulled in both directions.
Yeah. But thank you for sharing. No, I like that this focus was on stats, because there will be other opportunities to talk more about the conditions mm-hmm. side of it and other aspects of imprisonment in India. So it's nice to kind of have the general overview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also just like learning more about those, the lack of resources in the police force and in the judicial system overall. Like, you know, this is just sort of saying that that exists and the one of the effects of it. But I think there's definitely a lot more for us to learn about that.
Agreed. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Such fun.
Such fun.
Bollywood news.
I have a little bit of Bollywood news. I also wanted to...
Want more Olympics corner?
Yeah, a little more Olympics updates.
Sure, yeah.
Just two India-specific ones. Again, we're recording on August 5th, so some of these things will likely be out of date. But as of tonight's taping, mm-hmm. India got another bronze medal. We're up to 3.
Woo!
Good job, guys. Which, I know, like... You know, we're in the U.S. We've got so many frickin' medals. But, like, when you consider that, I was reading that India has gotten, I think it was 38 historically, and they've gotten 3. Like,
that's huge.
That's huge. Yeah. That's a
10% jump.
It is. That's awesome. And I'm particularly excited about the fact that the Indian men's field hockey team has made it to the semifinals.
Nice.
They play their first semifinal match on Thursday, and I'm excited to watch it. They played Great Britain in the knockout match in the quarterfinals. Uh-huh. It was brutal. Like,
wow.
It was 1-1 for most of the game, and then it went to penalty. Mm-hmm. Or it went to like a shootout at the end. Yeah, and India got they get 5, and India got their first 4, and Britain only got their first 2, so it ended after 4.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then one of the players on India's team got a red card because he like hit a guy in the face with his
wow.
stick, and the guy was fine. But I was also just like, you know, it happens.
It's not specifically about that one British guy, but right. it's about what he represents.
Exactly. Reparations.
Yeah. Like, sorry, dude, for your face. But
also, yeah, there was something a little bit satisfying about seeing that happen. But yeah, I've just been having so much fun watching them play. And like, especially their goalie, I guess, is retiring after this year, Srijesh. But he's amazing. Like,
that's great.
He's just like so fun to watch, and he's so good. And yeah, love it.
I love that you've gotten so into field hockey. Like, that's amazing.
This has been such a fun journey for me.
Watch me just come in at the final. If they make it to the final, I'll just be like, I'm here too now.
Yeah. Hey, I think that's fine. You can dive in wherever you want to.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Do you know what the bronze medal was won in?
It was another shooting category.
Oh, it was another shooting.
Yeah.
Good for them.
It was a man this time. But yeah, no, they're raking in the shooting medals.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't have any Olympic updates, although there was a dressage rider from India.
Oh.
And they were saying, so the way that it works in dressage is that countries are like allocated a certain number of spots. But this was like the first time that India had a spot to give to a dressage rider.
That's awesome.
And so then it was like, then you had all of the like top-notch dressage riders within India competing against each other for who was gonna get to go.
Yeah.
And so yeah, there was a guy. He did it.
That's great.
His test was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
I don't think he made it to the final, but, you know, like...
That's okay.
That's awesome.
Well, it's
he
just
rode
like,
at the Olympics.
Yeah. This is like, I was so excited about the one guy who I saw swimming in, like, one of the heats for India.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it just takes, like, that little start. It just takes kind of, like,
right.
getting in and doing it, and then you start to see people more and more, and then people start taking the golds away from the U.S., and I'm just like, mm-hmm. you know what? in a certain way, I'm kind of into that. So, yeah.
yeah. Anywho.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That was Olympic Corner. Do you have any Bollywood news?
I do have one piece of Bollywood news.
Okay. I don't, so go for it.
Great. We got a teaser for Citadel Honey Bunny.
Oh, my God. I forgot it's called Honey Bunny.
I know.
Bunny.
And again,
have we established if Varun, his nickname is Honey Bunny in that
No,
show?
I think one's Honey and one's Bunny.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because,
okay.
You know, the naming trope of the, like, you know.
Yes, like agents.
No, not that naming trope. That is a good one to reference in this moment, though. But I'm talking about, like Jodha Akbar or... like Layla Majnu,
yes.
Like those,
yes.
that
okay.
naming trope, like you just
yes.
name it after the, yeah.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, yes, I'm with you now.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it comes out on Amazon Prime on November 7th. It looks good. It looks
fun. I mean, I'm assuming it will be. Citadel was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So
I think it's going to be a fun time. That's it. That's just it. Yeah.
We'll have to watch it for the pod.
I think we should, and we can do, like, a little recap of, like, just a quick...
Of Citadel.
Like,
yeah,
here's what happened on Citadel. I didn't watch the Italian one, did you?
Has the Italian one come out?
Oh, maybe not. Maybe that's why I haven't watched it.
But great, I'm really looking forward to that. And what's great is that if we watch it for the pod, we'll definitely watch it, so...
Yeah, we'll have to.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Pluggables.
Yes.
Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram and TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you do. Also, consider leaving a rating or a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. We always appreciate that.
Yeah.
But also, if you don't want to do any of those things, that's okay.
Yeah.
We still love you.
We do.
Thank you so much for listening.
Indeed. We appreciate it very much. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists. We add the songs that we love from the movies we watch to those playlists and link them in our episode descriptions, as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
So, we're going back. We're leaving prison behind. And we're going back to sports.
We're escaping prison and we're heading back to the Olympics.
Yeah, we are.
We're hoping that our next movie will be Chandu Champion.
Yes.
The recently released Kartik Aryan movie. We believe that it will be available for us to stream in enough time for us to watch the movie for our next episode. But if not, then we will do something else.
That's true. Yeah. But I have high hopes.
Yeah. I think we'll be all right.
Yeah. Because also, it'd be great. Like, seen a lot of activity around this movie, so I want to see it.
I do too. I think, you know, we've said it before when this movie has come up, but I think there's going to be a good amount for us to talk about, not just the content of the movie, but just the way that Kartik shows up in it, really.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. There's my research segment.
Like body image stuff?
I could do that, yeah.
I think that would be really interesting, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So on IMDb, our plot description is a man who faced one adversary after another with an undying spirit. Okay, that's the sentence. His unwavering zeal and never give up attitude led to India's first individual gold medal in any form of the Olympics.
Okay.
That's that.
Great. I mean, that's what Amazon Prime has written too, although it did at least have a full sentence as the
cool.
first one. This is an unbelievable tale of a man who faced one adversary after another with an undying spirit.
See, that's what we were missing. We were missing like a true subject to that
exactly.
sentence.
And then they also added at the end, this is the story of Chandu Champion.
As its title would suggest.
Yes. Yeah, I'm really excited. I do hope we get to watch it.
Yeah, me too. You know, I think if it doesn't happen for this week, then maybe a future week, but I think we're looking good.
Awesome.
Great. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Well, until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
And occasionally we need Bollywood actors to help us break our husbands out of jail.
Yeah. Especially if they're Anil Kapoor. Like, how many people do you think are now just hitting up AK to be like, so.
Listen.
I feel like you still kind of know some stuff.
Here's the situation. Yeah. Do you still have the Mr. Whippy truck?
That's all you need.